Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 3rd of March 2008, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear about new tiny tools that are revolutionising the nanotech industry, how quantum clocks are making the Swiss jealous, and how researchers have learned how to emulate the clever tricks of the sea cucumber. In this week's interview, Azo Nano's Cameron Chai speaks to Hervig Kirchberger, Business Development Manager from EV Group, about their latest products for CMOS imaging sensor manufacturers. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Stopping and cooling most of the atoms of the periodic table is now possible using a pair of techniques developed by physicist Mark Raisin at the University of Texas at Austin. Raisin stopped atoms by passing a supersonic beam through an atomic coil gun and cooled them using a single photon cooling process. The techniques are a major step forward in atomic physics and have a variety of scientific and technological applications. They could be used to determine the mass of the neutrino, which is the primary candidate for dark matter. To date, cooling atoms near the absolute zero, or minus 459 degrees Fahrenheit, has been accomplished using laser cooling, a method that was recognized by the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1997. Despite its enormous success, laser cooling has been limited to a small set of atoms in the periodic table. Raisin says his two methods can be used in tandem to trap and cool near absolute zero any of the paramagnetic atoms, which make up over 85% of the periodic table. In biology, as in construction, it's all about having tools that fit the job. Researchers at Rockefeller University have now created a tiny tool more than 10,000 times smaller than the diameter of a human hair, capable of encasing single membrane proteins from living cells. The new system, which resembles a nanoscale sushi roll, will allow investigators to individually stimulate these key proteins with specific molecules and signals in order to precisely define the biological reactions that result. The nanoscale apolipoprotein-bound bilayers, or NABs, developed by scientists in Rockefeller's Laboratory of Molecular Biology and Biochemistry, is a versatile device that can likely be adapted to any of the myriad transmembrane receptors that direct cell activity by reacting to molecules outside the cell and activating signals inside the cell. Today, it's impossible to know exactly what a single protein on the surface of a cell that has thousands of other proteins is doing. It might be acting on its own or binding to one or more other proteins. With this tool, researchers can control the receptor's membrane environment and test all possibilities of interaction with ligands, other receptors, or other proteins. It's one way to figure out how a complex system works. The method in the madness of quasi-crystals has long been a mystery to scientists. Quasi-crystals are solids whose atoms aren't arranged in a repeating pattern, as they are in ordinary crystals. Yet they form intricate patterns that are technologically useful. In the case of quasi-crystals, atoms that have already formed stable shapes away from the crystallite can still bind to it. They don't have to make adjustments. Because quasi-crystals aren't as regimented as regular crystals, the solid can reach a structural compromise where liquid-like molecular arrangements are retained in the solid state. This allows quasi-crystals to form more easily than regular crystals. Learning how they grow will help scientists to figure out how to engineer quasi-crystalline structures from new building blocks, which could lead to a slew of new materials. An atomic clock that uses an aluminium atom to apply the logic of computers to the peculiarities of the quantum world now rivals the world's most accurate clock based on a single mercury atom. Both clocks are at least 10 times more accurate than the current US time standard. Measurements were made in a year-long comparison of the two next-generation clocks, both designed and built at the Commerce Department's National Institute of Standards and Technology. The clocks were compared with record precision, allowing scientists to measure the relative frequencies of the two clocks to 17 digits, the most accurate measurement of this type ever made. The comparison produced the most precise results yet in the worldwide quest to determine whether some of the fundamental constants that describe the universe are changing slightly over time, a hot research question that may alter basic models of the cosmos. If the Flintstones had electricity, their wires might have been made of rock. New results in Science Express show that a chunk of hematite can conduct electrons under certain chemical conditions. In addition, the current causes some mineral surfaces to build up while others degrade. These results, in the case of iron oxide, might be important for water quality, soil evolution, and environmental cleanup. Scientists have long known that electrons can travel through some iron oxides when a voltage is applied, but they've assumed that electrons stemming from chemical reactions alone won't move spontaneously through the mineral's bulk. That long-standing assumption has caused chemists to treat different faces of a hunk of mineral as independent entities that don't communicate with each other. Now we know reactions at different faces of these minerals can couple together and yield behavior unique to semiconducting minerals. Carnegie Mellon University have created a version of Harry Potter's famed invisibility cloak for nanoparticles. Through a collaborative effort, researchers from the departments of material science and engineering and chemistry have developed a new design paradigm that makes particles invisible. In a recent edition of Advanced Materials magazine, the researchers demonstrate that controlling the structure of nanoparticles can shrink their visible size by a factor of thousands without affecting a particle's actual physical dimensions. The new particle invisibility cloak will help create a vast array of new material technologies that combine unknown property combinations such as strength and durability with optical transparency. An interdisciplinary team of researchers from the departments of macromolecular science and engineering and biomedical engineering at the Case School of Engineering and the Lower Stokes Cleveland Department of Veterans Affairs Medical Center has published groundbreaking work on a new type of polymer that displays chemoresponsive mechanic adaptability, meaning the polymer can change from hard to soft plastic and vice versa in seconds when exposed to liquid. In the new approach, the team used a biomimetic approach, or mimicking biology, copying nature's design found in the skin of sea cucumbers. These creatures can reversibly and quickly change the stiffness of their skin. Normally, it's very soft, but, for example, in response to a threat, the animal can activate its body armor by hardening its skin. Building on their recent success on the fabrication of artificial polymer nanocomposites containing rigid cellulose nanofibers, the team mimicked the architecture nature designed for the sea cucumbers and created artificial materials that display similar mechanical morphing characteristics. Researchers at Swansea University are developing a new eco-friendly technology that could generate as much electricity as 50 wind farms. Dr. Dave Worsley, a reader in the Materials Research Centre at the university's School of Engineering, is investigating ways of painting solar cells onto the flexible steel surfaces commonly used for cladding buildings. Unlike conventional solar cells, the materials being developed at Swansea are more efficient at capturing low light radiation, meaning that they're better suited to colder climates. Paint is applied to steel when it's passed through rollers during the manufacturing process, and it's hoped that the same approach can be used to build up layers of the solar cell system. The researchers' aim is to produce cells that can be painted onto flexible steel surfaces at a rate of 30 to 40 square meters a minute. Researchers have found that they can cause microscopic fissures in a tiny crystal to open and close on command. Researchers successfully used ultrafast electron microscopy to observe nanoscopic structures doing their exercises. Such switchable nanochannels could be useful for future nanoelectronics and nanoscopic machines. The investigation has shown that certain crystals stretch out to become longer, but not wider, when they're irradiated with laser pulses in the microscope. If the irradiation is switched off, they contract back to their original size. This effect was most obvious when one of these needles was broken by the shock of a short, strong laser pulse. A small crack of some 10 to 100 nanometers forms at the break. When the crystal is stretched out under irradiation, the nanoscale channel closes up. Upon contraction, it reappears. The phenomenon is reversible. ¶¶ In this week's Azo Nano interview, Cameron Chai from Azo Nano speaks to Hervig Kirchberger, Business Development Manager from EV Group, about their latest products for CMOS imaging sensor manufacturers that will be used to manufacture parts for consumer items like digital cameras, mobile phones, PDAs and computers. EV Group is primarily an equipment manufacturer serving the semiconductor industry and niche industries such as MEMS and other nano-related industries. Their equipment portfolio extends from lithography tools to wafer bonders for industrial and commercial applications. From an R&D base, they've moved into high-volume manufacturing with a shift in the focus of industry.
This is Cameron Chai here from Azo Nano, and I've got with me today Hervig Kirchberger, who's the Business Development Manager for the EV Group. How are you doing today, Hervig?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So tell me, Hervig, what do the EV Group do?
Well, EV Group, or EVG, as you would probably recognize, is an equipment supplier, basically. Our main industry is the semiconductor industry and related niche applications like the MEMS industry. And therefore, we're also dealing a lot with nano-related industries.
So you've got quite a good relationship with the nanotechnology industry as a whole then?
Correct, we have.
And what exactly do you guys manufacture?
Well, we have really broad equipment portfolio that is ranging basically from lithography tools. So those are like mask aligners and coders and developers, up to wafer bonders. So equipment that is basically joining two substrates together.
And you can obviously build machines for commercial applications, industrial applications,
of
rather
course.
What about the research industry? Do you deal with them?
We do, of course. So we started from research in early 1980s. The company was founded by family Talner. So we first dealt a lot with R&D institutions. But we more and more move towards high-volume manufacturing now, as our industry is basically growing. So meanwhile, we have around 1,400 equipment installations. And I would say at least 60-70% are in industry, so in production environment.
Okay. And you're obviously selling your equipment all around the world?
It's a global distribution, yeah.
Is there a particular area of your business that become most profitable lately?
Well, our core business is MEMS, so those tiny sensors and actuators. That is, I would say, roughly 40% of our business. But we are more and more getting into, well, semiconductor-related industries, like advanced packaging, if you know what I'm referring to. It's like getting a very cheap and reliable package of devices, and also in nano-imprinting. So nano-imprinting is meanwhile a very large business for us. We have more than 100 pieces of equipment already installed for that industry, and that's also our target here in Australia. So Australia is one of our main targets in nano-imprinting or nanotechnology, and we hope to be able to penetrate the market here.
And what about other export markets for the EVG? Where are your other big markets?
Okay. Well, it's definitely Asia with packaging. So main markets here are Taiwan and also like Singapore and China. In Japan, the advanced semiconductor market is pretty good. That means, for example, stacking of devices on top of each other. So 3D interconnect, we call it. And also MEMS is pretty big in Japan. Europe is basically everything, so from semiconductor to MEMS, and same with the US. So US is also we're basically represented with all our markets in the US as well.
And what's your latest offering for the nanotechnology area or field? What's your latest device that you've come up with them, your latest and greatest claim to fame?
Claim to fame. Well, there is an industry which is called CMOS imaging sensors. So
digital cameras and things like that?
Exactly. So all the cameras that go into mobile phones, computers, PDAs. And those cameras basically utilize now a new technology platform, which is called CMOS imaging sensors. And for those CMOS imaging sensors, we are actually fabricating, or we are supplying tools in order to fabricate micro-optical devices on top of those imaging sensors. So what we do is we basically create tiny, tiny lenses that basically will be assembled in a wafer level on top of those CMOS imaging sensors to get all the light down to the CMOS sensor. And this is a huge industry, as you can imagine, since it's going into consumer applications like mobile phones and computers. This is currently our biggest application in nano-related devices.
So it sounds like you guys are geared up more towards the dealing with the manufacturers of nano devices or devices that are really going out into the consumer market already then?
Of course, we are very much interested in getting this the things commercialized, of course.
Great to hear. Right then, Herwig, it was lovely to speak to you, and it's very interesting to hear what EVG does, and no doubt we'll be seeing many more EVG bits of equipment out there in the marketplace shortly.
We hope so. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Azo Nano Business News. Voxtel Incorporated plans to announce its entry into the business of manufacturing green semiconductor and metal oxide nanocrystals for a wide variety of customer applications, including photovoltaic solar cells, electroluminescent lighting, anti-counterfeiting tagants, and security inks. Voxtel's focus is on the synthesis and scaling to manufacture of green, environmentally friendly semiconductors and semiconductor core shell nanocrystals. Horiba Joban Yvonne, the world's leaders in Raman spectroscopy, have introduced a new high-performance, lower-cost Raman microscope. The Explorer is a new concept in Raman microscopy, bringing Raman chemical identification directly to your microscope. Nano Proprietary Incorporated today announced that it's entered into a settlement agreement in connection with its litigation in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Illinois. The agreement covers all defendants except the primary defendant, Till Keesman. Details of the settlement remain confidential under the terms of the agreement. Ian Applebaum, Assistant Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering at the University of Delaware, has received the prestigious Faculty Early Career Development Award from the National Science Foundation for his pioneering research in the exciting next evolution of electronics known as spintronics. This emerging field focuses on harnessing the magnet-like spin property of electrons to produce electronics ranging from computers to cell phones that are faster yet use less energy than today's power-hogging devices. King Abdullah University of Science and Technology and Stanford University today announced their partnership in the Academic Excellence Alliance, designed to establish joint research, collaborate in the design of the academic curriculum, and identify and nominate the founding faculty in applied mathematics and computational science for the new university. Oxford Instrument Plasna Technology Limited is delighted to announce that it's achieved its highest order month in the company's 25-year history. During February, the company received orders for 20 systems. Amongst these is an iron beam cluster system to the value of over £1 million and 5 production tools for a manufacturing facility in Malaysia. The company has a challenging strategy to double the size of the business by 2010, and this upsurge in order intake demonstrates it's well on track to achieving this growth. FEI Company and Malvern Instruments Limited have released Quanta Morphology, a powerful new solution combining the performance of FEI's Quanta FED scanning electron microscope and Malvern's proven morphology particle characterization software. For the first time ever, Quanta Morphology users, including pharmaceutical quality control method development labs, will have direct analysis methods to obtain both size and shape information on submicron particles. This powerful solution will provide pharmaceutical companies greater control over new products and drug formulations that require particle manufacture at increasingly smaller nanoscale dimensions for a wide variety of advanced therapeutic applications. That was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 3rd of March 2008. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.